In the corner, Marchessault up to the slot. Miller shooting. Knocked down and trickles into the goal. To rush up the left side. Nosek is in. He shoots and scores. Tomáš Nosek. On the right side wall. Tipped out. Here's Carlson. He's got an unabetted path. Left circle. Carlson along. He scores. All through his legs. Carlson shorthanded. 3-2 Knights. Oh, can you believe it? Faceoff won by Belmar, puck to the corner, cleared out of the zone, and that's it! The Knights win the Pacific Division in their inaugural season!
And welcome in, good Monday, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM, your home for Golden Knights hockey in the Valley. Full studio today, Frank Harnish, Clayton Hamilton, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace, Chris Chapman. And we are counting down the days. We just still don't know exactly what the day is going to be for game one here, but we're pretty darn sure it's going to start this week, Clayton.
Yeah, pretty sure it will. Plenty of hockey, though, if you're in Boston, Toronto, Washington, or Columbus, though.
Yeah, and some of these series, will we have game sevens? Will we not? Do we want a game seven here in Vegas?
In Vegas, no. We want everything to finish up tonight. Selfishly, as a hockey fan, I want a couple of game sevens. Mainly because I just want to see the Washington Capitals completely implode in another like unpredictable but incredibly predictable way.
You know, I thought about you earlier today, Ryan. Mm-hmm. I didn't get a chance to read the article, but I saw the headline that says John Tortorella evolving into a player's coach. I saw it about 10 minutes before we went on, so I didn't get a chance to read it, but I can't wait to read that.
Yeah, you're gonna have to read that, and we're probably gonna have to talk about it tomorrow when John Tortorella puts in the greatest coaching job he's ever had, and they win game six, and then they go back in game seven and beat the Washington Capitals. It's gonna be great.
He did guarantee a victory tonight.
But that seems to be the series of guarantees out there. Ovechkin guaranteeing that they're going to go back tied up. Now, he was right. Will Torts be right? Well, we'll find out. But I like what Barry Trotz said about Tortorella saying that he's guaranteeing that they're going back for Game 7. He said he's a head coach of the Blue Jackets. What's he supposed to say?
Oh, that's kind of like the Drew Doughty thing. Like, what's he supposed to say when someone asks him, do you think you're better than the Golden Knights? What's he supposed to say? Yeah, no, they're going to mop the floor with us. We suck. We can't hang with them. No, he's not going to say that. He's going to say, yeah, of course I think we're better. Of course I think we can win the series. It's just what he's got to say. I mean, he's putting a little bit more pressure, I think, on his team, Tortorella is, but professional athletes usually respond well to pressure.
Who do you think believed it more of those three guys saying what they said? Ovechkin, Tortorella, or Drew Doughty?
I think Drew Doughty believes everything that he ever thinks or feels or has an opinion on. So probably Drew Doughty. I think Tortorella probably believes it less than anybody else, mainly because he doesn't have an outcome. Like, he doesn't have any effect on the outcome. Like, he can put the players out there and everything, but it's going to be up to the players to play the game in order to get back to a game seven. At least Ovechkin can go out there and affect the game. Same with Drew Doughty.
I suppose he could always go the Gerard Gallant route where he says, I feel like we're a good team and we're going to go out and we're going to work hard and play hard and respect the game and take our chances.
The best part about that is I don't think Gerard Gallant can ever make a prediction or guarantee anything past the next game. Right? Like Tortorella is saying, hey, I guarantee we're coming back for game seven. Well, that enables him to look past game six. I don't think Gerard Gallant could do that. Like, physically, I don't think he can.
I did think it was interesting today when Gerard Gallant addressed the media, and the one thing that he said was, and he never really said this before that I can remember, and correct me if I'm wrong, but when he said, yeah, well, when I first got in here and Bill Foley said, you know, playoffs in three and cup in five or six, and I was thinking to myself, maybe I'm a little bit nervous here or whatever because that's a lot of pressure. And now in hindsight, of course, that seems like it's not ambitious enough when everybody thought it was overly ambitious. But he kind of basically said it's like, well, wait a second. I'm the first coach of this organization, and now I really have to come out here and deliver or whatever like that. But Gerard Gallant is a great guy there, and he seemed well. And again, when they ask him about the Sharks, just like about the Kings, he's like, look, it's two good hockey teams. I mean, it doesn't matter who they're playing. They could be playing the Arizona Coyotes, and it'd be two good hockey teams, or they could be playing the Pittsburgh Penguins in the Stanley Cup Finals, and he's going to say it's two good hockey teams.
The only guarantee that he made is that he's going to have fun playing with the grandkids until the games start tonight.
And that they will be watching hockey, yeah. Him and the grandkids, regardless of what else they're doing. He might be out by the pool or something like that, but he will be there with the grandkids. The best question, though, was when Jesse Granger asked him about what's going on behind the black curtain. He was like, what are you talking about? He had no idea that they were doing photo shoots and filming stuff there. I mean, he looked over at Toshi like, what is this guy talking about? And Eric was like, we had a photo shoot today. And he goes, but it was gone before you guys even hit the ice. And he's like, look, I swear to God, I had no idea what you were talking about.
I mean, that had to be why they were wearing the white socks, right?
Yeah, they had the team photo. That's why they had their regular socks on.
Gotta love that. I wish that they would practice in jerseys every now and again. Like, that would just be so fun, especially with how incredibly involved that crowd is out at City National Arena every time they come onto the ice.
There were no Go Knights go chants today. Steve Karp was a little, he was upset. He was like, hey, there, we haven't heard the chant yet today.
Was he as upset as he is at Barclays Center?
No. This, okay. Today was just an observation.
Oh,
yeah. All right. No, there's no venom.
It was just, I haven't heard the Golden Knights go yet.
It's kind of early in the morning for Karp to be venomous, I guess.
Well, it was 11 a.m. A little bit later than normal.
It was 11. He had to stand, he had to wait 12 minutes to get into the arena today.
All right, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio. Having a little bit of fun here. We're going to be looking at some of the games going on tonight. Also look at some news and that. But let's start out with the Vegas Golden Knights. And, you know, Ryan, we were talking a little bit in the hallways today, and I agree with you. It's like when you try to talk to these players and that, and you keep on trying to find a new angle or something like that, it kind of reminds me of in football when you're getting ready for the Super Bowl and they have the two-week break. Everything's been said that can be set up to this point. Every question has been asked, unless you're asking about something just off the wall, like how was your time at the pool, or maybe you asked Nate Schmidt what his favorite classic rock tune that he played on 97.1 The Point recently is or something. But for the most part, it seems like everybody just wants to play the game.
Yeah, I mean, there's really not much else we can say. Obviously, we had time to kind of dissect the LA Kings series and get the players' thoughts and perspectives on going into that series and what it's meant for the organization as a whole. But really, when it comes to looking ahead to San Jose, there's not much there. I mean, obviously, the last game that the Vegas Golden Knights played against San Jose Sharks, it was the game in which William Karlsson scored the shorthanded goal of the year, the goal of the year candidate, and the Golden Knights won the Pacific Division. So while there's a little bit of recent history there, none of that really matters as we go into the playoffs, especially in the second round. So it's kind of difficult to ask these guys, like, hey, what do you need to do to beat San Jose? Stock answer, we got to play our game. We got to play our system. We got to play our style. Does anything change if Joe Thornton is or isn't out of the lineup? No, because we have to play our game. And that's what we're going to get from here until the first game. And then once we have that first game, then obviously we can take a look at what happened in the game and what needs to be addressed. And then we finally have some new angles to go over with these guys. But really, I mean, they've answered pretty much everything up until this point.
And even answered some of it on the ice with Evander Kane. They're 16-6-1 since acquiring him. But half of the games that the Golden Knights have played against San Jose have included Evander Kane. So there's not even that surprise to dive into.
Yeah, not really. And again, it's, you know, you're 3-0-1 against an opponent for the entire year. And you tend to look at those things when you go into a playoff matchup. But really, the regular season doesn't mean very much. The last two games against the LA Kings were really difficult for the Vegas Golden Knights, and I feel like a lot of that had to do with roster fluctuations. But outside of that, the series against LA looked like the first two meetings of the season, not the last two. So it's really hard to kind of draw parallels between the regular season, what might happen in the postseason. All we really know is of the remaining goalies left, these are probably two of the best ones, at least that we've seen in the first round. Goaltending's been horrendous. I mean, it's been bad outside of Marc-Andre Fleury, Jonathan Quick, and Martin Jones.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing when you think about it that one of the highest scoring teams in the league was in the probably the lowest scoring first round series, but a lot of that was predicated because of the way that the LA Kings play and how good Jonathan Quick and Marc-Andre Fleury both were. So, but all that being said, we still did get a chance to catch up with some of the guys the last couple days. Saturday, we were over at the arena. They took a day off yesterday and had a chance to catch up and talk with Jonathan Marchessault and basically asked him about you know, the layoff and the rest and everything. And after a physical series against LA, well, is it a good thing that maybe you guys did get a little bit of extra rest?
Yeah, I think it's a good thing. I mean, mentally, it's really good to have some rest. And It's definitely going to be it's the longest rest we have all year. But, I mean, they're going to be facing the same thing as us, and I think it's going to be a good series.
The physicality of the series with the Kings, a lot of people talked about that. Was it as physical as, it, as the numbers appeared, or was that a little bit inflated?
It was physical, but I didn't thought it was like the hardest that I've been in. It's definitely it was a good series. They played really well, and they play a strong game. And but I think we responded well to be able to get to win those 1-0 games, 2-1 games.
How important is it that you guys now know that you can win the really low-scoring games? Because you're basically thought of the narrative that you're more of a high-scoring team, but 2-1-0 games, a 2-1, and a 3-2.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's. I was really pleased to say that we can win those tight games and low-scoring games, and I think we responded well. We managed the puck well, and I think at the end of the night, the good teams find a way to win.
Is San Jose similar to the LA Kings, or are they a little bit different? It seems that they're a little bit faster, maybe.
Yeah, I would say they're definitely a similar team as us. I think a faster team and a lot of skills, and I think it's going to be a good series, but still, it's going to be a big opportunity for us to respond and manage well the puck and see where it goes against them.
I know that Drew Doughty said some things about your line not doing that much. Obviously, you guys did a lot. You had the big goal in Game 3, and then you were crucial in the only goal in Game 4. Is that bulletin board material, or is that just something that you guys don't even worry about and you just worry about how you play?
Yeah, I don't think we worried about that too much. I mean, they definitely limit their scoring chances as a line, and I think they played well against us. But, I mean, at the end of the night, we still got the two winning goals of the last two games, so I think we did pretty good.
LA's got the best penalty kill in the league. San Jose's got the second best. Does that make it more difficult for you guys on the power play, or do you just keep on doing what you do and hope that things will fall into place and you can get one by Jones?
Yeah, I mean, it's all managing the puck well, making the right plays at the right time, and I think our power play's been good all year also, so I think it's going to be a good test, and if you want to go move forward in the playoffs, you definitely need a good power play.
When it comes to the Stanley Cup playoffs, have you been watching the other games on that too, or are you just focusing on the Golden Knights and the teams that you're facing?
I definitely like to watch every game when I can. I mean, it's the best time of the year. It's the best hockey to watch, and it's definitely entertaining.
The fact that your line has been one of the top lines in the league the entire season, how comfortable does that guy make you in the playoffs? Because sometimes you'll see a line that does really well in the regular season, and then the playoffs they might struggle a little bit. But it seems like you guys are just going along at the same click that you did, just like you guys have said all season long. It's like it's just another game. That's how you have to face it.
Yeah, that's how we look at it. I think we'll just focus on the next game ahead of us. And, I mean, it was fun, the two first game. We didn't necessarily produce, but, I mean, it was fun to see that the other lines were getting some big goals for us, and I think what was the difference against LA, it's obviously Marc-Andre Fleury, but also the depth of our team.
The crowd at T-Mobile has been incredible. They were even louder in the first round of the playoffs. Do you think they can actually notch it up another level?
Yeah, I mean, we expect that. They want us to crank it up a level, and we want them to crank it up a level, so hopefully they keep surprising us.
All right, thanks a lot. How's the family doing?
They're great. Thank you. Everybody's healthy.
And there you have Jonathan Marchessault all there. And, you know, and again, I know we've talked about it, but we still talk to the players and that kind of stuff. It really just seems like they're all just chomping at the bit to get in there. As we are, imagine how much we're wanting to see it and find out when the games are and everything. I guess if there's one advantage I can say, maybe because they're at T-Mobile and they don't have to worry about their travel schedules and all that kind of stuff, is that an advantage for Vegas, at least knowing that, hey, they're here regardless?
I think so. I mean, obviously, I believe the NHL has gotten in touch with both the San Jose Sharks and the Vegas Golden Knights organization, and they have laid out a number of different scenarios based on tonight's games as to when the series is going to start. So I think the players have a pretty good idea of when the series is going to start. We just don't. Mm-hmm. So advantage, probably. I mean, because you don't have to travel, you don't have to do anything, you don't have to get out of your house and uproot and change what you're doing on a day-to-day basis. I think there's an advantage there. But really, if you look at this series, I don't think any one team's going to have the advantage because they both have been off for quite a long time. And that's going to be nice because in the first 10 minutes of the series, when everything kind of garbage and everyone's trying to find their legs, at least one team isn't going to have more of an advantage in that spot.
just think about how antsy they were before the first preseason game, and that was, you know, 4 days of practice. We are now doubling the length of training camp in between series.
And I know a lot of people have been making the analogy or comparing this to when they had the bye week or whatever, but as Gerard Gallant and the players themselves were telling everybody else, it's a completely different scenario because as we saw at practice today, it got intense at the end of that practice when they were working on the power play and stuff, and guys are all smiling and that kind of stuff, but they want to score, and Marc-Andre Fleury wants to stop them from scoring, and the defensemen want to do their job on the penalty kill and that. So there is that intensity. Nobody's going on vacation or something like that and getting away from hockey, even though they're not playing right now. It is 100% focused on the hockey.
Yeah, and I think really the only position that you really have to worry about when it comes to getting more practice instead of game action is maybe goaltending. Because obviously Marc-Andre Fleury is going through the drills, but he doesn't have 5 or 6 bodies in front of him that he has to work through screens. He's not getting that type of game action. So maybe the goaltending, and that's going to be a topic of conversation, especially if Fleury is not in the zone that he was in the first round. He was playing some of the best hockey of his life, out of his mind. So it's really going to be important for Marc-Andre Fleury to get some easy shots early in the game against San Jose to kind of get his feet wet, to get back into looking around screens, trying to feel through traffic, and then that's going to benefit him long term.
I will say today real quick, Clayton, that in that when they were working on the power play, he was having to work around some traffic. Alex Tuck and other guys were parking themselves in front, and he was working on pushing them out and that kind of stuff. So although it wasn't game situation, it was more intense than we've seen out there on a normal regular season practice.
Yeah, so it'll be the combination of him getting reacquainted with that traffic and then guys on the defense continuing to be as organized as they were against Los Angeles.
By the way, I don't remember him giving up a goal in any of those power play drills either. So, I mean, they weren't scoring on him in the practice today either. All right, well, one of the guys in front of him that does a lot of work and tries to clean things out, and we're talking about asking questions that aren't necessarily hockey-related. I know you had a chance to do that at the end of this interview a little bit. We talked to Clayton's favorite Golden Knight. Yeah, that's just me throwing it in there because I still can't. I never thought that I'd be seeing Buckeyes and Wolverines get along so sportingly and so wonderfully.
That's what this team has done, Frank.
But John Merrill, had a chance to sit down and talk with him and Saturday after the skate, and basically asked him the same thing about is this rest a little bit better because of such a physical series with the Kings?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's anytime you can wrap a series up like that, I guess. It gives you a little bit of time to rest and let guys recover a little bit, as well as get in a few days of practice and feel good about ourselves going into the next series.
Was the series as physical as it appeared to be? Because some people think that the numbers were a little bit inflated, but from watching it, it seemed like there was a lot of bodies flying all over the place.
Yeah, it was a tight series. You know, it was a checking series. I think both teams were really tight defensively, and I think when you're tight defensively, there's body contact and there's physical play. I think it's something that's part of the game, and I think it was definitely a physical series.
A number of your teammates, as well as some national media, have been using you as an example of the new tough in the NHL, about being willing to take a hit in order to maintain possession. Is that something that's always been a part of your game, or is it something that's evolving?
Yeah, I think it has been. I think, you know, I'll do whatever it takes for this team, and whatever is called upon me to do is what I'm willing to do for this team. So if that requires me to dive face first in front of a shot, I'm going to do it. And if it's get run over 100 times a game, then I'm going to do it. So it's definitely I think that's what we all are here to do, is whatever is called upon us.
When it comes to toughness, it's a lot of people are saying that the California teams haven't adjusted with the toughness and the speed of the game. It seems like the Golden Knights have both of those aspects. Is that important in today's game, that you have to be both tough, fast, and skilled?
Absolutely. You see the game's just getting faster and faster, and I think that older style of just intimidation and kind of scaring guys out of the building is kind of fading. You know, we're a team that we're not scared, and we're going to go out and skate hard and play hard every night no matter who we play against.
San Jose Sharks coming up next. They're a physical team, but it seems like they're a fast team as well. What different do they possess as a challenge as far as the LA Kings did?
You know, they're a different team, but a lot of the same. I expect a tight series. They're very well structured, well coached. They play their system really well and efficiently, and they've got some guys that have been playing together for quite a number of years now, so they kind of know where each other are and play really well together. So they present a new challenge, but a similar challenge.
What has it been like this year with Gerard Gallant? The more we've gotten to know him, the more he seems like he's a different type of coach than many of the other folks in the NHL.
Yeah, he's a new style of coach to me in the NHL. He likes to keep it loose and let the boys have fun and kind of let the guys play. But at the same time, we all respect him so much as a hockey coach that we all want to play hard for him. And he doesn't really need to say much. We want to play for him. We want to play hard for him, which is awesome.
A big part of the success of this team has been the fans at T-Mobile Arena. They got even louder during the first round of the playoffs. Do you think it's possible that they can get even louder against San Jose?
I think so, man. I mean, it's as loud as it seems like it can get, but I know they're going to ramp it up, and it's just amazing to see the support from everybody in this community, and I expect to continue to just grow and grow and grow.
The first round of the playoffs was a lot of low-scoring games for you guys against the Kings. 1-0 twice, 2-1, 3-2. Do you expect the same thing against San Jose? Because Marc-Andre Fleury has been playing absolutely incredible, but Martin Jones has also played very well for the Sharks.
Yeah, you never know. I think, like I said, we expect somewhat of a tight series. We're both, pretty tight defensive teams. But like I said, you never know. It's the playoffs, and that's why we play the games.
A little off topic for you, Michigan guy. You got the Pistons, you got the Tigers, got the Lions. We'll leave the Red Wings out of this. Which of those three do you think is going to be the first one to get back to a championship?
Championship. I got to go with the Tigers, I think. I'm looking at the other two, and I just don't see another one coming anytime soon. I got to go with the Tigers, I guess, even though they're in the basement as well.
Tigers before Jim Harbaugh gets a national championship in Ann Arbor.
No, I'm not willing to say that. I'm willing to say that Jim Harbaugh is going to bring it home within the next 5 years.
Are you going to have an eye on the NFL draft?
I'll watch it. I don't know. I know some of the top-end quarterbacks a little bit. I really like the guy out of Wyoming there. I think he's going to be a player in the league. I'd like to see Baker Mayfield maybe slip a little bit and teach him a lesson and come into the league with a little bit of a chip on his shoulder. I think would be good for him. So it'll be fun.
If you were an NFL player, would you be a slot receiver or a quarterback?
Slot receiver or quarterback? I'd probably be a quarterback. Yeah. It'd be awesome.
So he would probably be a quarterback. Mm-hmm. So I guess that means that if he had a beer can and he threw it at somebody on the ice, he'd probably hit him. Must have a good arm if he's going to be a quarterback.
Yeah, you got to have a
good unless arm. He's quarterbacking for Alabama, but he'd be quarterbacking for Michigan.
It's really, really just two positions for him because he is very slender. So it's quarterback or slot receiver. I don't think he could play outside linebacker.
Well, and sometimes a quarterback, they'll do that thing with bringing another one and throw him out as receiver. Yeah. So it could happen.
It'd be good.
I think he could be an NHL defenseman.
Well, I think he is that. I don't think that was really a question.
There is something, though, that it's been about John Merrill that we didn't see a lot of him early in the year, but he really has come on as being a guy that's disruptive to passing lanes and a guy that's, I said, willing to take the body. And it's not just something that we talk about. You'll see those breakdowns on ESPN, NHL Network as well, about just taking a hit in order to maintain possession. And that's becoming the new style, and he's the new tough.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about his ability as kind of a taller, lankier guy, his stick is going to be longer. He's going to be able to break up some passes to really get in on guys that may be a little bit faster than him if he doesn't have the foot speed to get to it. And I think John Merrill's kind of really solidified that third pair. He really has. He's come on. It's a little bit more safe, I would say, than maybe a Brad Hunt who can skate himself out of trouble, but is looking to maybe jump and activate a little bit more on offense. So I like John Merrill in this lineup. I think that this is what everyone projected him to be when he was selected in the entry draft.
To me, you don't have to look any farther than Pierre-Edouard Bellemare saying that when he's on the ice, that he's watching what he does and he applauds it and says that he pumps up the whole team. If you can catch that guy's eye with as tough as he plays for your toughness and what you're doing out there, you're doing something right.
And he caught George McPhee's eye. Let's not forget, he got a 2-year extension this year. He's one of the guys that the team committed to.
I guess that is the most important eye to catch. Mm-hmm. So there you have it. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. As soon as we find out when that first game will be, we will let you know. But there's other games going on tonight, including a couple game sixes. We'll take a look at that. Also, you might want to stick around to find out what Minnesota's owner just said in his comparison with the team and what he compared it to. Lots more to get to here. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey. Welcome back, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, Frank Harness, Clayton Hamilton, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace, Chris Chapman, and by the way, Chris had a chance to catch up with Alex Tuck earlier today, too. We'll get to that for you tomorrow, and because we have some news and other things to look at here, we'll also look at tonight's games. Is there our game sixes? Will there be game sevens or not? We'll all give our thoughts on that, but Clayton, a lot of other stuff going on besides just the Golden Knights. In fact, we can't wait for them to actually start going on again on the ice.
Yeah, a lot going on, but there's a whole lot happening in Minnesota, Frank. So we will begin with them, where the news this morning was that Chuck Fletcher, his contract as executive vice president and general manager of the Minnesota Wild would not be renewed. Owner Craig Leopold said that they would begin a search immediately for his replacement, but that Brent Flair, the Wild senior vice president of hockey operations, would be the acting GM. But then, as you let me know in the break, Frank, things just got more and more interesting as Craig Leopold continued to speak.
Yes, he was talking to Chad Graff of the Athletic. He said, "I just don't see us with this team getting to the Stanley Cup Finals. I think we're a good team, but not good enough right now. It's like pornography. You know it when you see it." So he knows they're good, but not good enough. I hear people arguing about what's pornographic and what's not all the time, so I don't know if people really know it when they see it or not. But apparently Craig Leopold does, and his team isn't dirty enough?
So I don't really know. Is he saying that they're good, but they're not porn good?
I guess they have to get down and dirty and nasty or something. I don't really know what he's saying.
See, I read that as like they're like pornography in that they're not the real thing. Like, they should be better than pornography. They should be a better team. Like, they should be the real deal, and everybody knows what I'm talking about when I say the real deal. So, while it's weird, I mean, incredibly weird, to liken a team to pornography and then leave it pretty vague in that we don't actually know what he's talking about, I'll take the first part of what he said. I don't see this team making the Stanley Cup Finals. I agree completely. When completely healthy, with Zach Parise, with Ryan Sutter, I don't see this team making the Stanley Cup Finals. I just don't. And it's interesting because a lot of times when you have a team that wins a fair amount of games in the regular season, they're always in the playoffs, you don't see very much change. I think this is a good thing because, I mean, let's be honest, Fletcher gave away Eric Halla and Alex Tuck to keep Matt Dumba. And how'd that work out for you?
All I know is talking about pornography is not Minnesota nice, Frank. It's not Minnesota nice. It doesn't fit in with their persona. And as you said, they have had a fair amount of success. They've made the postseason each of the past 6 years, but they've won only two playoff series, and they've lost three straight first-round series, which is usually what will give you the boot.
Yeah, and obviously, I mean, I agree with them that they're not Stanley Cup final worthy. I just don't know if that's all on the general manager or not, but I guess someone's going to be a fall guy, and I just wonder if Bruce Boudreau feels safe right now.
I don't think that it's an indictment on Fletcher what happened this season with another Parise injury, with, you know, Ryan Sutter getting hurt and all that. I mean, obviously that was stacking the deck against the Minnesota Wild, especially with Winnipeg coming up and being as dominant as they were. But you certainly can blame him for the moves in the offseason prior. You can blame him for not figuring out where the talent was in the expansion draft and cutting a deal with George McPhee. I mean, a lot of GMs that cut deals with George McPhee look really foolish right now. And, I mean, you probably should have been fired then.
You probably have to think that ownership thought that Minnesota was going to be the next big thing in the Central, and probably what Winnipeg did this year, and they didn't just pass them. They flew by them, and they were the one that knocked them out of the playoffs. That just exacerbates what is going on in Winnipeg, where they've been moving at a lightning speed as opposed to Minnesota that's just been plodding along and maybe realizing they're not quite going to get there.
Well, you could even say the same thing about Nashville, making it all the way to the Stanley Cup Finals last year. Two of these teams, and again, it's not like Fletcher was there for a couple years and he's doing this. He had a 9-year tenure there. So, I mean, they've never advanced past the second round. So, again, I'm not disagreeing with them in that. I just think it's a very strange analogy to make there. But and I'm still trying to figure out if I really know what pornography is, because people have a different opinion about that all the time. But whatever, bottom line is he's gone. And it probably also doesn't help when Bruce Boudreau talks about how good the team really is, too, and says that your goalie is the best goalie in the league, better than Carey Price or anybody else out there in different things, and you set yourself up for those high expectations, and then you don't come close to achieving them.
Yeah, I just wonder about Bruce Boudreau. Like, why do people still believe in him? I mean, he clearly believes in himself, and he believes in himself so much that he's able to convince other people to believe in him. But why do people continue to believe in Bruce Boudreau?
I mean, division titles mean something. President's trophies mean something. Winning in the regular season, getting to the playoffs means something. And when you've got, you know, a franchise like Minnesota that wants to be there, they're going to go out there and they're going to look for Bruce Boudreau. The same thing with the Anaheim Ducks. They wanted somebody that was proven that could win in the regular season, because Once you get into the playoffs, everyone's got the same chance, really. So, and we've seen multiple times 8 seeds upset 1 seeds. We've seen upsets over the last couple of years. So you just want to be able to have a guy that gets you there. However, you also need a guy that's capable. I mean, literally capable of making some type of adjustment when things aren't going his way. That has never been something Bruce Boudreau's been good at.
Is it a plus or a minus that Bruce Boudreau at least isn't losing game 7s lately?
I mean, five games in the
first
round.
It would sound like it's worse, but if he keeps on losing game 7s, that's been the knock on him. So it seems like people kind of trust him until they get to that point, but now they're not even getting there.
Yeah, we can talk about the Washington Capitals later. I mean, like, and it was always really funny. Like, would the failures in game 7s for Washington continue after Bruce Boudreau moved on? Yes, they would. And it's also plagued the Anaheim Ducks. Go figure.
Other coaching news, Bill Peters, who resigned after a disappointing season in Carolina, has moved on to take over the head coaching job in Calgary, who is coming off a disappointing season and fired Glenn Gulletson earlier. So one disappointment on to lead another.
Yeah, and you know, it was interesting too, because we kind of touched on this earlier, and Carolina, who basically said that Peters said that he was weighing his options whether or not he's going to stay there, because he had an option to opt out of his contract. And most people kind of had the feeling of like, well, look, he's probably going to be gone anyhow once they name a GM and everything. So it kind of seemed like he got out of there while the getting was good and it was still on his terms and everything. And there was a lot of speculation that Calgary was a place that he could land, but it wasn't the only team interested in him either.
I like it for Bill Peters. I don't understand it from Calgary's perspective. You've got a guy that's never made the playoffs as a coach. You have a guy that had a talented enough roster to do something better than what Carolina did, and they didn't do it. You have to look at the fact that they couldn't suppress anything. They were giving up way too many chances. And then you're going to put him into another situation where there's a young team with rising stars and all the talent in the world that underachieved last year. I just, it's a recipe to continually screw up. Way to go, Calgary. You might challenge the Edmonton Oilers for the most inept franchise up in Canada.
Yeah, you might, but we will find out. I'm just sorry to see Gulletson go, because he seemed like a really classy guy and everything, and he had the ties here with the Wranglers and Derek England and different things out there. So I hope that he lands on his feet someplace, because he seems like a nice guy. Although there was one particular video that did come out during the season that's not safe for work, I guess you could say.
Not safe for work. Well, not everybody is out of a job. Jared Bednar of the Colorado Avalanche, he got a one-year extension. President Joe Sakic announced that his head coach would be back for the 2019-2020 season after posting a 22-win, 48-point season last year. They improved to 95 points and made the wild card playoff spot this year in the Western Conference.
Nothing says I believe in you and job stability like a one-year extension after the year Bednar had. I like him. I think he's a good coach. I think he's kind of getting a raw deal here, but you know, maybe he'll use that as motivation and have his team better next season and looking for a multi-year contract after that.
You know, it is interesting, too, because when you hear what Sakic says about him, he says he's done an amazing job. I really believe in Bednar and his entire staff. He's done a tremendous job, and he's earned everything he's gotten. Well, you just gave him a one-year extension. He earned that by competing for a playoff spot.
At least it's not a one-year extension for next season. It's the season after next
season.
That is true. So at least he's got two. But, yeah, I'm with you guys. I kind of feel like if they really believed in him, maybe three or four. But maybe he'll make them pay for that decision. General managers all over the news today, including Pittsburgh's GM Jim Rutherford, who, after witnessing a pelting of beer cans by the Philadelphia faithful at the end of their game yesterday, spoke out against the fans. He said they were frustrated fans. They decided to waste their money and throw some things on the ice that they had already spent money on. I guess some of them have more money than brains. I don't know what they were aiming at. You have players from their home team out there. Somebody could have been hurt bad. It doesn't make any sense. And kind of going on to say that Philadelphia fans acting exactly the way that everyone expects them to.
Yeah, and Sidney Crosby told Josh Yohe of The Athletic that those things were full. What a waste. Guess they have to be throw them that far. Some people also went on to criticized the Philadelphia fans not only for throwing full beer cans on the ice, but basically who were they actually throwing them at? And oh, by the way, idiots, your team's out there as well. You could just as easily hit somebody or affect the career of one of the Philadelphia Flyer players or something. I mean, there's absolutely no room for this kind of stuff out there. But I'm still amazed that I see full beer cans and bottles on that sold at professional sporting events, because I know there was a long time when in most sports they would take the can and pour it in a glass and then give it to you there. But we've seen it in different places, and I don't know when that started becoming a thing again, and I don't know why it is a thing again.
Yeah, I like this mainly because Sidney Crosby showed a little bit of personality, and I'm really bummed out that he didn't pick up the beer cans and open them like Stone Cold Steve Austin or the Sandman from ECW and just start to drink them and celebrate as only Sidney Crosby should be able to do.
Have a Sidweiser?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
I bet that probably
followed up with a stunner.
I bet it probably happened, Frank, because some accountant and some mid-level manager who doesn't really know what they're doing decided they could make 12.5 cents more per beer if they didn't pour it into a plastic cup.
That is a lot of plastic cups you go through over the course.
Probably how it came to be.
When you're only charging 20 times more than a beer should cost.
You know how greedy. You know how greedy folks get.
No.
12.5. Come on.
No.
12.5 cents.
There's no greed in the corporate world.
Come on. Come on.
Those opinions are Clayton Hamilton's, not those of Lotus Broadcasting.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah. 12.5 cents. Somebody's really happy with themselves for that. One other bit of news about tonight's game is going to be, where in the world is Nazem Kadri going to play? Mike Babcock said when he was asked if his lines would remain the same, he told the Associated Press, "I'm not sure. We're going to have the same people. I'm not sure we're going to use the same lineup. I have not decided for sure. Last change at home might make that different, but I don't know for sure." And then Steve Conroy of the Boston Herald is reporting that Nazem Kadri will be back with Patrick Marleau and Mitch Marner tonight.
I think you have to play Kadri against the Bergeron line. You have to shut them down. You have to make sure that Marchand and Bergeron don't hurt you in this game. And then if you can do that, if you can get that matchup favorably in your advantage, then it leaves you open to play Matthews against lesser competition. And Matthews needs to have a big game tonight.
I just wonder who's going to get in whose head and do something stupid first, Kadri or Marchand.
I'm hoping that if Kadri plays Marchand really, really tough, that Marchand will do Marchand things and get himself eliminated for Game 7.
I'd like to see them both do something stupid and both get eliminated for Game 7.
No. Because Kadri's already missed time. So Kadri's going to come out there. He's really going to try to get under Bergeron's skin. I want Kadri to play Game 7, but I want Marchand to do something Marchand-like.
By the way, to Kadri's credit, he did say that he deserves a suspension. No, but he thought three games was incredibly harsh.
And give Kadri a lot of credit. He comes back, first game back from suspension, played absolutely one of his best games of the postseason. He's only played two. And led that team to victory. He really did. He set the bar early, and you expect that from a guy that's been around and has a lot of responsibility on that team.
I just like that the Associated Press and the Boston Herald went to the same press conference and have two different stories. I think that's fantastic. Also from San Jose, Melker Carlson had a maintenance day. He did not practice, and Brent Burns has had two of them, except Pete DeBoer says that nothing wrong with Brent Burns, that he will be ready for game one. Joe Thornton out for game one.
Yeah, I mean, how much of an effect can we realistically expect Joe Thornton to have in a series against an incredibly fast team like the Vegas Golden Knights?
I don't know. And it will be interesting, too, because what kind of timing does he have? Because he's had no games under him whatsoever.
Exactly.
As good as he is, and is, again, Gerard Gallant always says a Hall of Fame career, and I agree with that, but I still don't know. I mean, I would imagine that they can't put him in there until they know that he's ready to go, because you're in the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
No, I agree. I think even healthy, if Joe Thornton had an entire season, I just don't think that he's going to be able to get up on into plays and make and have the same effect that he would have against maybe a slower team like Anaheim or a slower team like LA. He's going to struggle with Vegas' speed. He just is.
One other bit of news, the NHL announced the 31-team nominees for the 2017-2018 King Clancy Memorial Trophy, and that's given to the player who best exemplifies leadership qualities on and off the ice and has made a noteworthy humanitarian contribution in their community. The winner will receive a $40,000 donation from the NHL to benefit a charity or charity of the winner's choice, and the Golden Knights nominee is Derek Englund.
I don't think they could pick a better person out there, and I really hope that he wins it. I mean, the guy's been absolutely incredible. From somebody who was picked in the expansion draft, and a lot of people didn't know that much about him except for that, yeah, he's the guy that used to play for the Wranglers in the ECHL, and he likes to fight a lot. He has shown the maturity and the wisdom and the veteran leadership and everything on the ice, off the ice, around the community and everything else. I'm not downgrading anything that these other guys on this list have done, because I'm sure they all do tremendous things in their community. But with what happened October 1st and everything else that's going around Las Vegas this season and the way that he's performed and everything else, I don't think you can have a better choice for it. There might be somebody else that's equally as good, but I literally don't think there's a better choice for it.
Gabriel Landeskog, also nominated from Colorado. We saw all the things that he did down with the team in Parkland. And in fairness, just because we like to have so much fun with him, the Los Angeles Kings nominee is Drew Doughty.
Well, there you go. Oh, I'm sure that he thinks that he's done everything in his power to win. I'm not sure if his teammates did enough to help him get that award or not.
And I'm sure he's done a tremendous amount in the community. So we do like to say good on you, Drew Doughty, for that.
All right. Well, when we come back, we're going to wrap it up here on a Monday. And you know what? People say you can't have your cake and eat it, too. Hopefully for Vegas Golden Knights fans, that's not true. We'll explain next. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio. Welcome back. Final go around here. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show on a Monday. Frank Harnish, Clayton Hamilton, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace, Chris Chapman. And guys, you big cake eaters?
I like the cake. A little more cake maybe than other desserts.
Ryan, the vegan cake?
Yeah, a cake. Cake, for sure. Cake.
All right. Well, on the Food Network, which I'm not even sure exactly where that is or if I even have it, but there will be an episode on the Food Network tonight titled Vegas Cakes. Freed's Bakery made this gigantic cake that they actually filmed back in February. It's got the Golden Knights helmet, a goalie hockey stick with Vegas born, a glove, a hockey puck, and a few of the guys, John Merrill and Lucas Pisa. They enjoyed some of the cake that they were served on a plate. Nate Schmidt, according to this, took a big hunk out of it, hands-free, in the story. So if you want to check that out tonight, it's on at 8 p.m. and then again at 11 p.m.
I'll check that out.
I'll watch the later one after the hockey
games.
Done.
Yeah. After the hockey games, yeah. So
probably
there you have
right on before Beat Bobby Flay marathon that goes on all night long.
Looks like a very sizable cake.
It does look like a very sizable cake,
and it looks pretty cool too.
And I'm glad they get to eat it. I've never understood that. You want your cake and to eat it. Like, why would you not want to eat your own cake?
Yeah, doesn't it spoil?
Yeah.
I don't know. Which anyhow, one guy who's never spoiled, T.C. Martin, he's up next. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey in the Valley. The doctor's on his way.